Welcome to The Firing Line with Rick Travis, Legislative Director of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. The Firing Line radio show is brought to you by the California Rifle and Pistol Association, CCW Safe, and Turner's Outdoorsman. And now, here's your host, Rick Travis.
Good afternoon, patriots of the Inland Empire and throughout Southern California and beyond. This is Rick Travis, your host here on California Rifle Pistol Association's Firing Line radio show. And like every week, we are here to discuss what's going on in Sacramento and how it's impacting your lives. We're going to be looking at the fight statewide. And with me today is my partner in crime, in fighting for you, Kevin Small, the Director of Advocacy and Grassroots for the CRPA. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Kevin, normally we start off the show with kind of like the doom and gloom of, well, being a 2A advocate here in the good old Golden State. But this week, I don't think it's going to be doom and gloom.
No, yeah, it's been a little bit of a change of pace. We've had a very good week as far as outcomes are concerned, both in legislative and local advocacy. So I'm excited to talk with you about it.
Yeah, so let's start off with, you know, we had the every gun owner bill package that we've talked about everywhere, you and I, statewide. Very onerous, very much a repeat of what we've seen in countries throughout history, both into the new millennium as well as in the last one of this process of the hard left communist, socialist-leaning progressives coming in with this idea of, hey, we need to know where all your firearms are, but we're not going to take them. Hey, we need to have somebody besides the normal police force because we already kind of figured out they won't do our bidding for us, so they create that. Trying to track down where everything is. Hey, we're just going to do a general registration so we can make sure things are great. Then we're going to tax people out of owning their own firearms, and then what we can't tax comes the final confiscation. And then shortly thereafter, the government falls. And that's been repeated multiple times. And multiple times there's been people along the way when they implement this, Kevin, who are like, no, we would never do such a thing. No, we wouldn't do such a thing. And there's always a handful of people like, no, that's exactly what's about to be done. And among those people that say that's exactly what's to be done, they're usually the first ones in the frying pan. So to our credit, we kind of volunteered to be the first ones in the frying pan by warning everybody. But we've had an incredible last week and a half in that fight, in the strongest of the bills coming out was 1160 by Portantino, who, as I've told people for several years on this show, including when Phil Neyman had it, that a gut and amend doesn't go in one direction. It doesn't only like allow them to take a water bill and make it an anti-gun bill. It can also take an anti-gun bill and make it something else or weaken it. So he amended the bill. So it has nothing to do with what it initially did. And now is an increase in fees for open carry, which we're going after. And when I say open carry, it means illegally open carry, where open carry is not allowed. And we're still going after it, but it's not the behemoth. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was how that happened. Like, I think this is really important for people to understand. So, Kevin, explain your one-click politics that you brought on board.
Okay, yeah. So we started using this at the end of the session last year, and we've been using it the entire legislative session this year. We've seen over 10,000 letters of opposition emailed to legislators so far this session. And I mean, what we're coming up to the end of April here. We've still got a long ways to go, but it's become very advantageous for us and effective for us on the advocacy side of things, because these legislators are getting hit by their constituents in ways that they've just never been hit before. Now you can access these campaigns on the CRPA website. You just need to go to programs, legislative advocacy. You'll see a link right there that'll take you to a landing page with, all of those campaigns. You can click on one of them. You can click on all of them. If you want to advocate for all of them in just a couple of minutes, If you're subscribed to the CRPA emails, you'll also see these campaigns come out in those CRPA emails. Now, we try to time those specifically so that these legislators are getting this advocacy as they're coming up to or as they are in the committees where they're actually discussing the bill. I know that's something that you and I have talked about, just trying to be most effective when we're actually communicating these things. But it's a pretty simple process, whether you're on your phone or your computer. It's a link that you can click. You'll put in your name and your address. And I know that some people are a little bit weird about the address, but it is necessary because the benefit of this software is that it takes your address without you having to look up individuals. It takes your address and automatically connects you with the legislators that represent you. So you're not necessarily going to be sending a letter of opposition to somebody who represents a district that covers Siskiyou if you live in Riverside. You're going to be connected to the legislators that represent you, that you vote for, and that's going to be your opportunity then with just a one click, clicking send, to send them that letter of opposition and let them know that we're going to be watching their vote very carefully, especially as these general elections are coming up. Some of these people really have to take that to heart. I mean, let's be really honest. They should be taking that to heart in every instance, right? They should be representing the people of their district. But it's proven pretty effective. I know, Rick, you can speak more to the comments that the legislators have made about this advocacy specifically to you up in the Capitol. But on our end, it's been very successful and something that is kind of proving, again, as the tip of the spear, a good direction for other organizations in similar and the same fights to follow through on.
Now, I think it's important. I mean, you know, there are certain things that become cliche almost. And so one of them is the famous, you know, Nancy Pelosi comment on Obamacare. Well, just vote for it. We'll read it later. You know, and people love to point that out. But what people don't always pause to think about is, wait a second, that wasn't an anomaly. That's a practice, a standard practice. And so to a great deal, these Capitol alerts do two things. One, it does tell them that there are people that do not believe in the way they're leaning. And secondly, it's an opportunity for education. And what I have found many times is when you actually can go in and get that door open and sit down with somebody and talk to them about it, a lot of times that leads to them not voting for the issue. Now, it doesn't always mean that you're going to vote against it, but you know what? Not voting for the issue is good enough because that deprives the number of votes needed to get across the line. And I see bills across the spectrum every day fail because they just couldn't get enough votes. So I think that's really important. And I think for more people to realize that that's what drove the author back to the desk and realized there was no way he could get the votes to get this passed. And, you know, when you got 10,000 of these coming in from our organization and then the alliance we built up with a couple of organizations doing similar activities, that's a very powerful voice and a very powerful tool, along with the work of the lobbyists up there and the work of your grassroots chapters, legislative teams, literally showing up at the field offices saying the same thing. I mean, that coordinated effort is having a tremendous impact, which goes to something that has been said on this show since its inception of folks sitting on the couch, or as Phil used to like to say on the show, or as I like to say, being at the back of the tailgate and whining, griping, and complaining, and righteously so, doesn't move the ball. It just makes you get more disgruntled. But here we have people throughout the state actually getting away from the tailgate, coffee table, the water cooler, whatever, you know, the coffee bar, and going out and spending a little bit of time for their rights. And it's having a profound impact. And I think we need to take this moment, Kevin, and just hammer this home. Doing nothing gets you nothing. Doing something makes progress.
Well, I think the important piece here is that sometimes the prospect of doing something seems to be daunting. At times, because maybe you don't have any direction, you don't know how to do something, and that sometimes forces people to just not do anything. One-click politics, though, is a very simple thing that takes 1 second. And, you know, I keep kind of living by this. Grains of sand, individual grains of sand is what makes a pile. If everybody is doing this, the voice gets pretty loud. So if you're looking for a way to participate by literally spending a minute of your time, it's one click. Once you've put in your name and address, you are participating in a very now widespread campaign that is making our voice heard to these legislators.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that people have to realize. We have incremental ways where you can cut your teeth. I think this is the first one. Like you said, if you think about it, it's just a bunch of one grains of sands coming together that definitely puts at least a speed bump, if not an absolute barricade, to getting a bill passed. And that takes very little out of the constituent to do. But then once you get comfortable doing that, that becomes so simplistic that you're like, well, hey, I think I could do a little bit more. And that's what we're going to talk about in the following segments, because there are more things that you can do. And we have so many successes this past week that we can point to that shows the efficacy of doing these things and why each of you listening to the program are so vital to the movement. We'll be back here on Firing Line Radio.
Hi folks, Rick Travis. If you're a concealed handgun carrier and have a firearm to defend your home, you need to have CCW Safe on your side. CCW Safe is your defense if you're forced to use your firearm for self-defense or the protection of a loved one. CCW Safe provides and pays 100% upfront defense funds for high-quality attorneys, expert witnesses, and investigators you need following a critical incident with no reimbursement. And they do it all for one flat yearly fee starting at $179 a year. CCW Safe has permit and non-permit plans to protect California residents in this state and while traveling across the country. So check out their new ultimate plan with no caps on criminal and civil defense, $1 million for bond coverage, a dedicated $1 million of civil liability, and many other benefits. You defend your life, CCW Safe will defend your freedom and financial future. In California, CCW Safe has got you covered. So join now at ccwsafe.com.
The California Rifle and Pistol Association has worked tirelessly for 150 years to promote your rights to self-protection, shooting sports, firearms collecting, hunting, conservation, and every aspect of your Second Amendment rights. CRPA works tirelessly and relentlessly to defend the civil and constitutional rights of individuals to choose to responsibly own and use firearms. Every dollar that CRPA receives from its members and donors stays and works in California to support your hunting and Second Amendment rights and the fight against politicians, elitists, and bureaucrats who would deprive individuals of those rights. Join the California Rifle and Pistol Association today at CRPA.org. That's CRPA.org.
AM 590, The Answer.
This portion of The Firing Line is brought to you by Turner's Outdoorsman.
Welcome back to Firing Line Radio. I'm your host, Rick Travis, with the California Rifle Pistol Association, your legislative director, the guy that fights for you every day in Sacramento and beyond. With me today is my partner, Kevin Small, who works up and down this state with our chapter programs, making sure that your voice is heard at the local level, and combined we make up the spear point that's defending your Second Amendment rights. Kevin, we talked about one-click politics and the ability for people to do that. I think the next step that I would assert is actually what we work together fairly closely on, which is our regional legislative and local legislative programs. And, you know, we started off with just legislative groups and chapters and building those up and getting them involved in the local level. That led to us combining some of those into more of a regional task force. And then all of them in a thing like we just did for second year in a row at Capitol Day, where we have literally dozens of people up in the Capitol in teams. And this year we had four different teams hitting 40 people in the legislature in one day, educating them. Each of these are incremental. So like, you know, if you get used to one click politics and go, hey, this feels good and I like winning and I like doing things like that, then you can go to the next step and get involved with one of the ledge teams throughout the state. If you don't have one, seriously, reach out to Kevin. He can help you put together one in your local area. We do that all the time. If you're like, yeah, but I live in this end of the county and the team's in the other end, we have counties that have more than one team That's fine. We have no problems with that. We will work with you. So, wherever we can get that local action going, we want to do it. And so if you feel like there's things going on locally that you don't like, then make that call out to Kevin Small and he will help you get it resolved. You guys will work together and some of these come by lightning fast. I've seen Kevin and a crew of people put one of these together literally in a week's time. And I've seen it sometimes take a couple of months. Whatever though, they will work with you. Kevin, 1160 wasn't the only bill. I mean, we had another one that was huge, and that was the weaponization of insurance agents against us, which was 3067.
And yeah, so this one, I'm sorry to cut you off, but this one to me was especially egregious. And if you're, I know that, Rick, you've been using terms like bill packages and pillars of legislation. I think this is the bill that kind of ties all of that language together. You know, if you're talking about the pillars of legislation that they're really trying to push on us, you're talking about the registry, which we've already defeated in 1160. You're talking about a licensing scheme. You're talking about these things that we've seen in the past through the Mao regime in China, the Nazi regime in Germany that have been extremely detrimental to people in the past, leading to things like genocide. If those are the pillars, then 3067 is kind of the ceiling that those pillars uphold, that cast the shadow down on the constituents. This is the way that they were trying to be able to enforce those things, because let's be really honest, they're not going to have law enforcement officers going door to door saying, hey, do you have guns? Okay, you got guns. Did you register them? Did you pay that fee? They're not doing that. So they need to find a way to enforce those. And this was one of the ways they were going to do it. They were going to force insurance companies, deputizing them to ask questions about firearms and firearm storage and where they're located in your house, and then report those not just to the Department of Justice, but also to the legislature, to make sure that the pillars that they're trying to pass would have been followed. So this is a really egregious piece of legislation that would be held up by these other unconstitutional pieces. And earlier this week, really happy to see that bill got gutted and amended. It's no longer even having to do anything with firearms. And I'm actually really curious, Rick, what it's like. I know that you were up there earlier this week as these things were going on, what the buzz is around Sacramento as something like that gets gotten amended.
The buzz was definitely, we call it the K Street rumor mill. K Street, for those of you who aren't familiar, is the road that's one block away from the Capitol. So it's like this safe zone where people are allowed to talk outside their offices, and that's why it's called the K Street rumor mill. But yeah, K Street was definitely discussing this along with several other bills, but part of it is, we have a tight economy in the Capitol right now where, depending on who you talk to, somewhere between 75 and 85 billion in debt. We have some deadlines coming up, and including the one this past week, which was a deadline to get some of the bills through certain committees before they would be considered dead. And so a lot of people are having to strategize over what could happen. And the amount of pressure that came through the previous campaign model of one click politics that you talked about in the last section, the combination of me getting people at the local level talking to their various constituents, including here in the Inland Empire, going and talking to their local assembly members and state senators, applying the pressure directly in the Capitol by bringing constituents up to the Capitol and meeting in offices, all led to many people in both houses saying, yeah, no, we're not doing this. And the author wisely looked and said, hey, I need to get a couple bills across because politicians are always looking at being reelected. You know what? This isn't worth the political capital, so I bail. That has two benefits. One, the initial dead, gone. But secondly, it sends a very clear message of like, yeah, this is too far of a reach and we can't do this. Now, does that mean they won't try it again in 5 or 10 years? So it depends on what the political climate is in California. But for right now, they realized that was just too steep a reach. And the comment I will make, Kevin, because I assume I know where you're going to go with this, is going to be, and it's amazing because I don't think our community has reached more than 20% of its full potential. If our community actually revved up and got to the 50% mark, this is why I have said what I've said for years, we would be very hard to stop. Because with just this much, we're becoming a very good oppositional block. And if we really took off, it's just going to get better and better. And so, but I just feel like one of the issues that challenges us, Kevin, and I want to finish this session up and move into the next session on it, is I got to talk to somebody who had a very high office in the state of California, and he made the comment, and I think it's a very salient point, that as humans, if you go way, way back to when we were pretty much prehistoric humans, there were probably some very positive humans that are like, oh, look at the nice cat over there on the other side of the tar pit here in LA. And then there were other humans that are like, holy crud, that's a saber-toothed tiger. The holy cruds lived. The ones that said, oh, that's a nice looking cat, probably died. And so as a result, we tend to cling to negativity because that was a very good thing to survive back in the day. Today, there's a lot of reports that show health-wise and otherwise, it's not such a great thing. And I would say politically, it's been used very effectively as a tool to scare the crap out of people and get them into analysis paralysis. And taking times like what we're going through right now and saying, we're winning, we're positive. Hey, by the way, that thing called the Constitution that you say you believe in, it's a good thing. It's a good document. And it's okay to be happy about that document. It's okay to go in a room and talk to people from both parties and say, I'm happy about this document. I love this document. It applies to me. It applies. Like, there's nothing wrong with being positive about it. In fact, I have seen that kind of attitude sway minds in both parties. And I'm going to make this really clear. I face off Republicans. You can use whatever derogatory term you want to use for them. I don't care. That aren't the biggest fan of the Second Amendment. And I've seen Democrats who get labeled by Second Amendment advocates as the Antichrist, practically, when these are people that hunt, have CCWs, and constantly vote for the Second Amendment. So I think if you walk in the attitude of, look, I'm going to talk to these people and tell them this is why I believe what I believe, and have a conversation and educate, you change minds.
I think the terms that you were looking for was rhinos and classical liberals. And yeah. I think that's kind of a testament to the fact that nationwide, the Second Amendment has been something that really hasn't been able to have been touched for a very long time. As far as the legal precedent is concerned, it's starting to be attempted to be created today. But definitely something that if we do activate even 50% of gun owners in California, something that we can take back very easily. It's not necessarily a stretch of the imagination to think that we can't do that.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize that among our own people, we have a lot of Democratic gun owners, folks. I see them all the time. They got D's. They're in agriculture and other professions in the Central Valley, and they love their firearms. They love to hunt. They love to self-protect. They love to do everything we love to do. They are not our enemy. They're our brothers and sisters, and treat them appropriately. And that's one of the things that I will say to you, Kevin. You do an outstanding job with your program. We'll be back on Firing Line Radio.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one hunting, fishing, and shooting sports retailer since 1971, now has 33 locations across California and one in Tucson, Arizona. Turner's is your one-stop shop for all your shooting, sports, and fishing tackle needs. They offer a full selection and unmatched prices on firearms, ammunition, gun safes, shooting accessories, archery equipment, and fishing tackle. Visit Turner's.com now and sign up for the Turner's Discount Club for free and get their weekly ads and members-only specials sent directly to your inbox. Turner's is a proud supporter of the fight to protect your rights in their continued support of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. For more information and to sign up for Turner's Discount Club or to shop online, visit turners.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
This portion of The Firing Line is brought to you by the California Rifle and Pistol Association.
Welcome back to Firing Line Radio. I'm your host, Rick Travis, with the California Rifle Pistol Association, your legislative director, who is locked in Sacramento for the majority of the session, fighting for your rights, moving up and down the state when I'm not in Sacramento, fighting for your rights. And with me today is my partner in crime, the other half of the spear point, Kevin Small, director of Grassroots and Advocacy. And we've been talking about defeating 1160, defeating, you know, 3067, which was the insurance bill. We have other bills, but we also need to explain to you that sometimes there's a local action and amazing things happen. So I'm going to take a minute to remind everybody of this in case this is their first time hearing it. But for a couple of years now, we have been monitoring some things throughout the state. One of those was Catalina Island, because we would hear reports that deer were being illegally poached, illegally killed. The Department of Fish and Wildlife was kind of monitoring it. Everybody was kind of monitoring it. And over the past 30 years, the Catalina Island Company and Catalina Island Conservancy have put in various requests to the Department of Fish and Wildlife to eradicate the deer, remove them from the island. And those requests have been consistently and routinely denied for a lack of science. Well, folks, almost a year ago, we got word that the game was afoot to do it and to wipe out 2,000 deer, bring helicopters in with people from the East Coast with AR-15s and shoot every deer 7 to 9 times and let it lay out in the fields to die and then to rot. Just very egregious. We got involved. Kevin, you and I went and did first a video from the headquarters offices. Then that led to a second video out on the island. And during that process, a coalition was born of people on the island. And then that coalition grew to be people here on the mainland. And then that coalition grew to be over 130,000 people globally and became a global news thing. It made it into newspapers across the country, across North America, ended up in some newspaper articles in Europe. I mean, it literally became a global news story. Not to the height of a gaffe by the president, but definitely got in the news around the world. And what it ended up looking like is this interesting group that assembled. Kevin, I mean, like, had I started off this show and said, okay, so Kevin Small and Rick Travis from the California Rifle Pistol Association are going to sit down with the head of the Humane Society in a prominent area of Los Angeles County and the head of the SPCA, and they're all going to agree that they both don't like somebody, and they're all going to agree that hunting's an effective tool, you have said, and the punchline is what? Because that was never going to happen. Yet, that's the alliance against the Catalina Island Conservancy. It has multiple hunting groups, multiple conservation groups, multiple animal rights groups, all agreeing to three things. The Conservancy is completely wrong in this choice. The department would be foolish to grant them their permit to do this. And the hunting is an actual tool for managing wildlife populations, which has been golden because we didn't have to grab it the one time they whoops said it. They've said it so many times, it's like we now have a documented list of how many times it's been said. That led to us facing off that company led by a member of the Wrigley family who has millions of dollars, hired a major PR firm in Los Angeles. And Kevin, as you know, I've been going and meeting with multiple members of the legislature and trying to get pressure and helping groups get meetings with local people. And so let's start at the local level. What happened this week in LA County?
Well, first of all, and it's good news, but I do think it's important, as you've kind of already set the stage, to understand that what happened at the Board of Supervisors meeting this week was a result of a year's worth of work getting put into it. The advocacy took over, and I think it's kind of a feel-good thing to understand that in this situation, the dollars didn't win. The boots on the ground grassroots advocacy won. That's thanks in large part to the part of the coalition that exists on Catalina Island, all of the people who are fighting for their city and their island there. But what happened at the Board of Supervisors meeting this week is that we had Supervisor Hahn make a motion within 72 hours of the meeting, so it didn't actually appear on the agenda, essentially to have all of the supervisors sign a letter to the Department of Fish and Wildlife urging them to reject the issuance of the permit that the Catalina Island Conservancy has requested in order to do the aerial butchering of the mule deer on the island. And it passed unanimously. Within the meeting, we had, I think it was like almost four times the amount of speakers calling in for public comment supporting this motion, as opposed to the few who were opposing it. So overwhelming support for the motion. It passed unanimously, so the LA County Board of Supervisors will be sending that letter to the Department of Fish and Wildlife urging them to not grant the permit.
I think it's really important to know, and yeah, a shout out to the folks out on the island who that coalition has been invaluable. It's important to see that, you know, we've brought legislators on the island. We've been working this, but it is a work. It is a heavy load, but it goes to prove that no matter what the odds, the everyday people coming together and working together can make a huge difference despite what they're up against. And do not believe the media lie of, oh, you're going up against a major corporation or a major entity with lots of money. It's over. It's done. You've already lost, because that's not the fact. This is America. We love the underdog, and we definitely start out as the underdog. And I think it's also important to realize, too, you know, Supervisor Hahn comes from a very prominent political family in L.A. County. And there's some of you who might be listening going, she doesn't have the same values or same feelings. But this is what we mean about reaching across the aisle, because I think it should be noted something that Supervisor Hahn said, in addition to, hey, don't kill the deer from helicopters, but if you need to control the population, something you should consider is, and what was her word?
Compromise?
Hunting. Hunting. She said it twice. Hunting is a way to control a deer population that's acceptable and approved. Not one member of that board of supervisors was like, oh, no, 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 no. They're all like, yeah, makes sense. And I think this is one of those moments that you have to look and say, LA Board of Supervisors is Democrats. And they just said, look, taking and you know, pray and spray over a bunch of wildlife is no, no.
Yeah, and when exactly do you get the hint? I mean, you propose to do something, and in the spirit of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, you literally see every part of the Catalina, the California, the Los Angeles, whatever box you want to put it in, the community at large turning against you, saying that what you're doing is wrong. That should be a huge indicator that truly what you're doing is wrong, so much so that even, yes, a very liberal LA County Board of Supervisors is able to join in on this effort to stop the issuance of that permit.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize, to your question, the word I love to use in the Capitol is arrogance. This isn't the first group that I've seen that when the wall gets formed against them, it says, no, you shouldn't be doing this. They will arrogantly stand against that wall and double down, triple down until the final brick is laid that prevents them. And that is why, as wonderful as this move is, we're not stopping. CRP is not letting up any pressure. We are doubling and tripling down on our side. We're using this, motivating people, saying now's the time to get involved. This is one of those actions that if you haven't jumped on our boat right now and got involved in this by joining us at crp.org, calling Kevin or me at the office and saying, I want to get involved, you're missing an opportunity, because this is a legacy move. This is how we leave something for the next generation that follows us. And we have not compromised on this at all. We have maintained to follow the science, to uphold the North American model of conservation. And folks, again, it's just not in the courtrooms that we're winning. We're winning at local advocacy. You don't get more local than an island off the coast of California. You don't get more small town America than Avalon. And yet, even in small town California, where everybody said it's a foregone conclusion, you've lost, we're not losing. Because one of the things we understand, and Kevin, you say this all the time on your podcast and on your YouTube channel, folks, we don't just fight for Californians. We fight for everybody in this nation, because we know what happens here goes across the country. And Kevin, close out this section of why is that so important?
Well, it's important because if there can't be any success in California legislature or local regulations, it's not going to be taken up in other states. So if you can stop it here at ground zero, there's almost no chance that it can spread to the rest of the country and infect at the federal level.
We'll be back on Firing Line Radio.
The California Rifle and Pistol Association has worked tirelessly for 150 years to promote your rights to self-protection, shooting sports, firearms collecting, hunting, conservation, and every aspect of your Second Amendment rights. CRPA works tirelessly and relentlessly to defend the civil and constitutional rights of individuals to choose to responsibly own and use firearms. Every dollar that CRPA receives from its members and donors stays and works in California to support your hunting and Second Amendment rights and the fight against politicians, elitists, and bureaucrats who would deprive individuals of those rights. Join the California Rifle and Pistol Association today at CRPA.org. That's CRPA.org.
Hi folks, Rick Travis. If you're a concealed handgun carrier and have a firearm to defend your home, you need to have CCW Safe on your side. CCW Safe is your defense if you're forced to use your firearm for self-defense or the protection of a loved one. CCW Safe provides and pays 100% upfront defense funds for high-quality attorneys, expert witnesses, and investigators you need following a critical incident with no reimbursement. And they do it all for one flat yearly fee starting at $179 a year. CCW Safe has permit and non-permit plans to protect California residents in this state and while traveling across the country. So check out their new Ultimate Plan with no caps on criminal and civil defense, $1 million for bond coverage, a dedicated $1 million of civil liability, and many other benefits. You defend your life, CCW Safe will defend your freedom and financial future. In California, CCW Safe has got you covered. So join now at ccwsafe.com.
AM 590, The Answer.
This portion of The Firing Line is brought to you by CCW Safe.
Welcome back to Firing Line Radio. I'm your host, Rick Travis, Legislative Director for the California Rifle Pistol Association. We've been talking about some wins this week, and so if you're getting excited and you've been one of those naysayers, it's like, hey, I'm not giving money to something that doesn't win. Well, now's the time to join the CRPA. Go to crpa.org, join, type in Firing Line Radio is where you heard about it, and join literally thousands, tens of thousands of people that have come together to fight for all of California's gun owners, both present and in the future. Because, folks, the bang you get for your buck here is like nothing else. We use every penny in this fight. None of us are doing things that other groups have been proven to do. We don't do that. We audit, get audited all the time, and we pass every audit with flying colors because we want you, those who support us, those who we fight for, to be equal in this partnership. So, Kevin, we're winning these. We also get weird wins, and so I'm going to bring up a weird win. One of the most iconic animals in North America, we've made fun of it. You and I both grew up with it. Hey, boo-boo. You know, Yogi Bear, doesn't matter, are bears. And you know, we anthropomorphize, which is a real big word for we humanize them. We make them just like us. And I'm going to quote one of my favorite comedians of all time because he's Irish, but Dennis Leary. Because Dennis Leary did a skit years ago that said, as the animals came off the boat with Noah on the ark after being up in the ark for, you know, those many, many days, that he formed two lines and he would ask the animals. And so the monkey comes down and he's like, hey, do something human. The monkey scratches its head and does a couple tricks. And he's like, okay, you're in the line that doesn't get eaten. Next thing comes down, it's a cow. What do you do? Moo. Yeah, your food. Go to the right. That's how we separate them. Bears are one of those animals that may have learned after coming off the ark of, hey, not doing anything cute gets you eaten. So they've tried to make themselves really cute. And so we got a lot of people in California saying, don't eat the bears. And as a result of that very emotionally driven policy framework in the last decade, we went from, according to the Department of Fish and Wildlife this last week, from roughly 25,000 to 28,000 bears to over 75,000 bears, which is three times the carrying capacity of the state, meaning that the state just doesn't have the resources to keep a population that big healthy. Meanwhile, because the restrictions placed on hunting as a management tool and other things, our numbers to be able to keep those populations in check aren't right. As a result, we have many other species that are being harmed detrimentally, such as deer and stuff. The fawn mortality rate due to bears is almost triple what it was, which makes sense. And so we're in this critical mass. And one thing CRPA did was got that information out because we worked together with a coalition of other hunting groups and led that coalition producing the first white paper on bears from outside the department in 25 years, which forced the department to have to move quicker, put their plan out, which is now going to be under public review. And Kevin, this is just one of many predators that we're seeing. I mean, we've had people killed by cougars recently because the cougar population's exploded. And, you know, you deal with this all the time in advocacy, but we have some people that are really trying to make policy based off of emotions and not science.
Well, that we definitely deal with a lot in advocacy. But, you know, I mean, this is something that I'm not extremely educated in. What is the process by which you can actually turn something like that around? You know, you go from a regular carrying capacity to over three times the carrying capacity. Is it legislation that actually needs to happen to get that that population down, or is it some regulations through the Department of Fish and Wildlife? How can we turn that around?
Well, I think there's three things which will lead us into the final part of this conversation. First is, yeah, there's legislative tools that we can use. We can come up with laws and changes to those laws. There's regulatory policy that can be done within the Fish and Game Commission and the department, which there's some of that already being worked on by some very good and very talented people. And then there is the education of the public, which is where you come in, because we've got to educate the public. I mean, you know, everybody wants to save an animal that they like and love, and I get that. But, you know, probably the best example close to our borders of what this looks like when it goes terribly wrong is in Arizona, and that was the Khabib Plateau, where a little over 100 years ago, the call was, we don't want to hurt the deer that are out there because, you know, Bambi, and well, we need to make sure Bambi lives. And so the good people of Arizona voted to do away with hunting, no human interference. And within a very short span of a few years, the population of deer exploded. And the predator population couldn't keep up with it because it was unnatural the way it exploded. And as a result, there was one of the largest starvation die-offs of wildlife ever, which led to all sorts of infections, diseases that impacted the ecosystem, and literally took about 80 years to recover. And I think what people forget is, you know, when they pull humans out, humans in this continent have been part of the apex predator framework for 30,000 years, according to science. And so if you pull out wolves, everybody's like, oh, that's going to screw up the environment. True. If you pull out bears, true. If you pull out cougars, true. like any of the predators. But somehow, oh, we pull out people. Well, that should be a positive. Nope. That's part of that framework. And limiting all those parts are what keeps balance, which is part of the scientific model. Taking that education, though, is something that you do. And I want people that listen to the show to understand, Kevin, you have a vibrant chapter program. So if I'm someone in the IE, Orange, or LA County listening to this show, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get off my chair, out of my truck, and I want to go to one of these things. How do I do that?
Sure. Well, you can go to crpa.org. There's a tab for the chapter program there, and you just want to click find a chapter near me. It'll pull up a map where you can see where the local chapter meetings are happening around you. Or, you know, if you are already a CRPA member and subscribed to the emails, that email that you're getting every Wednesday at 5 p.m. that's titled "Now is the Time," that's showing you when and where the chapter meetings are, with links for you to register for those meetings. Now, if you are in a situation where, you know, there's not necessarily a chapter meeting happening close to you, there is another link on that same website that says "Start a Chapter." That's going to send an email to staff here at CRPA headquarters, and it's going to open up that door for us to engage with you. Obviously, there has to be some sort of framework or criteria with which somebody who's going to start a chapter needs to go through. It's not necessarily for everybody to be part of chapter leadership, but we've definitely been blessed to have some really proactive individuals with some clear goals in mind that we have discussed with them to start that relationship of local action with support by CRPA, which is really what it is. The chapter program is local initiatives supported by CRPA. Now, you're carrying that CRPA name as CRPA volunteers. You know, you're part of that movement. You're part of those legal victories. You're part of those legislative victories, and you're bringing them to your home area and creating more victories in those areas where you are, with any support that CRPA headquarters can give you. So there is a process by which to start that, but it's pretty simple. The first step, either find that chapter near you on the website, register to go to those meetings, or send that email to start a chapter yourself.
So, question for you. If I'm listening to the show, is there a chapter in Riverside County anywhere?
Yeah, there is a chapter in Riverside County. I believe they meet. Actually, there's a meet. I believe their meeting is this Saturday. If you want to check that out on the website, they are having a meeting today. So go and check them out there. We also have a couple chapters in San Bernardino. We've got three in Orange County, one in San Diego as well. So, and again,
County.
I know
you have one in LA County too.
Yeah, we've got a couple in LA County, and you know, these are big counties. The population is pretty high in a lot of them. So, you know, if you're looking at an hour and a half drive to a chapter meeting, that would definitely be a situation where you might want to call and see if you can get one started yourself. But fortunately, the existing Riverside chapter that we have is kind of centrally located. So hopefully as many people as possible can get to it.
And folks, I really want to push, prod, cajole, whatever it takes to get you to go. I guarantee you, if you take a couple hours over the next 2 months, like an hour is about what those meetings last, maybe an hour and a half, do it twice, check it out. I think you're going to find that you're not alone in your feelings and your passions. You're going to find good people, and you're going to be able to make a difference in the local area and statewide. And as always, be safe, shoot straight, and fight back for your rights with CRPA.
The Firing Line Radio Show has been brought to you by the California Rifle and Pistol Association, CCW Safe, and Turner's Outdoorsman. Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one hunting, fishing, and shooting sports retailer since 1971, now has 33 locations across California and one in Tucson, Arizona. Turner's is your one-stop shop for all your shooting, sports, and fishing tackle needs. They offer a full selection and unmatched prices on firearms, ammunition, gun safes, shooting accessories, archery equipment, and fishing tackle. Visit Turner's.com now and sign up for the Turner's Discount Club for free and get their weekly ads and members-only specials sent directly to your inbox. Turner's is a proud supporter of the fight to protect your rights in their continued support of the California Rifle and Pistol Association. For more information and to sign up for Turner's Discount Club or to shop online, visit Turner's.com.
AM 590, The Answer.